The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Wednesday morning to all the Junks Radio listeners out there in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate that. And if you're not in the area, get that Odyssey app on your phone. Download it. It'll take you like 2 minutes. Take the Junks on the go wherever you're headed these holiday seasons. Mm-hmm. Junks are brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, just go to cropmetcalf.com today. I may be calling them soon because my thermostat, which is usually my wife's purview, that's mm-hmm. her thing, little message came up on it and said, needs maintenance soon.
Oh, that's and not good.
I mean, do you think Flakes can maintain
no.
an air conditioning system?
No, I know
the
you
can't. The answer is no. It's a resounding no. So yeah. Our friends at Crop may be getting a, not a distress call, but a maintenance call at sometime right around the corner. That
well,
could
don't
be coming.
Don't bother them just yet because they're very busy over at the Bickle House.
I know they're very busy. I don't think it's...
Mama Bickles.
I don't believe it's vital and or critical.
Yeah.
But it's just something.
It's coming. Gonna, it's
yes,
coming.
It's around the corner.
They're actually pulling permits for the big dig. They're going to do at my mom's house. Yeah.
When's that going to be?
As soon as they get the permits. Yeah. So like any moment, any day.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I just got my mom like in my house.
Mm, very good.
24/7 at all times. God love her. Yeah, you know, with her 600 trips to the bathroom all the time.
By the way, I wouldn't hold your breath on the permits. It seems like the people who have control of the permits.
Yeah.
Now, I have very limited experience in this.
Yeah.
They don't ever seem to be in a big rush to actually grant said permits
right.
when you need one. Now, right. I don't know. It could be different in Prince George's County. I don't know.
I'm sure it's not.
I think it's probably across all jurisdictions.
But you would think that a big corporation like Crop, I mean, let's be honest,
oh,
they're
an
industry
clout.
Leader.
Oh, yeah.
They go
yeah.
in there. They know how to get it done.
They swing the big stick.
I mean, Ben told me to take a couple days.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
They'll get it taken care of.
But they'll get the big dig going on there, and
the
we'll get
dig.
That plumbing issue resolved. Because I'll be honest with you, you guys might feel differently. Probably not. I think you guys are moral creatures. I would have had a hard time selling that house
right.
eventually. Knowing that there's big tree roots in the plumbing.
Right.
That, yeah. You know, we're causing a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my soul,
yeah.
I have awful, evil things about certain things, thoughts, that I would just not feel right.
Yeah, you'd feel...
I feel like I was pulling an okey-doke on someone.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't like
feel
great
about it.
Like, if I just got it fixed,
yeah.
but meanwhile knowing there's a big-ass tree root growing in there.
Yeah.
So it's good, just get it resolved once
Smart.
And for all.
It's good?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're doing the right thing?
Yeah, I think so. But...
Well, today's going to be an F minus weather day.
Well, you're okay. a rain guy. I blame you.
It's going to be a terrible day.
You like rain.
It's going to be.
Makes you happy.
Now, the only good thing about getting up this morning was it was 62 degrees in my car. Now, that's going to get colder after this storm comes through. It's going to go down to the 40s and then eventually the 30s. But, man, the weather today is going to suck.
One of the great things about working with Jason is I never need to ever check the weather.
You don't even need to look out the window.
I just know, like, he's going to tell us about it, especially if there's a big front or storm coming through.
Right.
Well, I don't need to concern myself with it.
I was going
to
play golf and take advantage of, you know, the warmer temps yesterday. But I went outside and I said, this weather sucks. I'm not going out there.
It was nothing like it was cracked up to be.
Yeah.
We got out to the first tee. We actually played Tom's old joint he still has privileges at Blue Mash.
And very good. Nice deal he crafted there.
Yeah, oh yeah. Lifetime privileges.
It's fantastic. Smart.
We were at 11:30. We had to get off, you know, just to have any shot at getting done. We couldn't see the ball. 11:30, the fog. The fog was around for a couple holes, and then the fog came back.
Yeah, the fog.
Was it that way in Loudoun County? Did you have fog, like, at 11:30? It was, like, really bizarre.
No, it was just this gray and dark and terrible.
And then it wasn't nearly as warm as it was supposed to be. It was, for a moment, it maybe approached low 50s,
yeah.
Maybe.
We were talking about it before the show. Maybe the O-Town is a fog pocket.
Well,
I don't understand it, but when I drove out of work yesterday, zero fog in D.C. Zippy.
Yeah.
Zippy on the way out to Montgomery County.
That's when you got
nothing.
Out only. Yeah. But Valdez was out of Trump. You said you had it out of Trump. Valdez scorched Trump yesterday.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
Four over.
Very nice. Look at you.
A lot of fog.
Even
also, took a big old L. You know that sweater you were jocking?
Oh, yeah. What happened? You ripped it?
Come on,
no,
unraveled?
No. It's like full wool. So, like, by the end
full
of the day.
Wool.
Oh, you left it.
No. It was itching me like crazy.
You didn't have long sleeve underneath?
I had a long sleeve underneath, but it was like touching my wrist and my neck.
Maybe you might have a contact dermatitis thing to it or something.
But uncomfortable. And then once I started scratching, I couldn't stop scratching.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
I'll
give it to you. It's in my car right now. So what do you think I did?
It looked kind of big.
I bit a bullet and bought a $160 pullover.
What?
Because it was so cold.
It was cold, and I couldn't wear that thing for 18 holes.
Man, that's wild.
Because it was killing me. Mm. So
which would you have rather worn, that sweater or the schmedium that JP shrank and wore in here like on Thursday or Friday?
You couldn't have worn it.
I couldn't. So I had to bite the bullet, go into the pro shop, and say I need a pullover.
Yeah, give Trumpy some more money.
That's high dollar though.
I hate spending money like that.
It had to hurt.
I had to. I had to though.
Spending money like that.
I was so uncomfortable.
I'm not getting a discount.
I was so itchy.
You couldn't have just shivered throughout the round in the short sleeves.
No,
I was perusing the rack, and then all of a sudden I pull something I like off. It's a Peter Millar thing, and I look at the price tag.
Mm-hmm.
That was $265, and I said, "Let me go to the number section."
Right.
Dagger. So the discount section. Was 160.
Oh, no. That's not a discount. That's just the cheaper one.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
You don't find a lot of sales.
In
a golf pro shop? Yeah,
especially at Trump?
Yeah, no chance.
Tom was showing me. Now, Tom gets free stuff because he owns Chicago Highlands and you know, just everyone gives him free stuff. He had a jacket by, how do you say that the company is a Juice? You know that company? I think it's like KJUS. KJUS. I don't know.
Don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
Juice.
It's a regular. I have the exact same dupe in Ashworth. Okay. Hold on. Ashworth still makes stuff.
Is he speaking English? I don't understand what's happening.
I haven't heard Ashworth since Mark Calcavecchia.
Okay. That I got, you know, on sale for like $40, $500. They allegedly sell it for. Now, he paid nothing. They gave it to him. But who on earth is buying essentially a light jacket for the fall
for
$500?
Yeah, and that's no,
something you would wear. Something you would wear 4 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
Ashworth used to have a Nubs logo. That's what I remember.
Same logo.
That their logo is Nubs.
Yeah,
I look down on their logo.
I used to wear their stuff all the time.
I like Ashworth. Yeah. I actually like.
I don't wear it anymore, but I used to all the time.
I'm shocked they're still in business.
I get sites for. Holderness and Born.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
good one. Anyway, yeah, the weather was not what it was supposed to be. Correct. So maybe today it will be slightly better than it's supposed to be.
Negative.
So I was telling Drab, I actually was texting Drab like 3:30 in the morning, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was up early.
That was wild.
Yeah. Well, I normally get up around 4, but...
If I get a text at 3:30, I think somebody's dead for the most part.
I actually didn't think you would be up. I was just...
Well, when my alarm went off at 3:45, I saw you texted me already. 3:26.
Yeah. I was up. So, I couldn't sleep. I did... So, Meg's boyfriend plays for Cornell. Mm-hmm. Hoops. And so, we've been watching all their games. And they balled out and beat Cal last night.
Where do you find those games?
They're all on ESPN Plus.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah.
These days, any college, any Division I school, any sport is all online on ESPN Plus for the most part.
Yeah.
Barring some weird.
I saw that score this
thing.
Morning and I said, wow, that's a good one.
Now, it's bizarre because here's the thing. Can you check this? Mike Marr, can you check this for me? As of 2 weeks ago, Cornell led the nation in pace of play. Mm. Now, they may not still lead the nation. That was 2 weeks ago. Things change. They
get up and down.
They get up and down and launch it. It's actually not my favorite style of basketball.
Your brand of hoops.
But at least they're college threes. They're not NBA threes. And they, for the most part, they're good looks. Are they?
They took 32 of them last night.
As of 2 weeks ago, they were second fastest in the nation, 14 seconds.
Yeah.
Pace of play.
So they launch it. Okay.
Play the overs.
So they're
that
actually,
had to have been an over.
They're actually fun to watch. And if you look, they've got some good dubs. They destroyed Army. They just beat Cal. Now, it's weird because Cal's now in the ACC. So it counts as Cornell's first win over an ACC team in 73 years.
That's awesome.
So take that with a grain of salt because it's like they're not really the ACC. You know what I mean? Like it's just bizarre in my brain.
Yeah, I mean, first year in the ACC.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
But it's still a Power Four conference.
Yeah, it's a big time program.
Yeah.
And, Meg's boyfriend was going off, and we're screaming. His name's Cooper. So we just, every time he's shooting, we go, Coop!
Cooper Nord.
Yeah. We're having a great time enjoying it all.
He was jacking him up 3 for 11 from three. He's not a great percentage,
11.
But he took 11 of them.
Yeah.
The green
he was
light.
A little cold early. Then he hit a couple before half. So the moral of the story is they were up big. I think they were up 41-27 at half.
47-29 at half.
Yeah. So I had to go to bed.
So up 18.
It was like 11 o'clock-ish. I had to go to bed, and I saw Coop starting to heat up.
Mm-hmm.
So then I couldn't sleep. I rolled over at 3:15. I grabbed my phone to see if they pulled it out, and they did. And then I've been humoring Drab because he's one guy that humors me and listens about it. Jason would do.
Yeah.
And
you know
I just
love
was
college
like,
hoops.
They're balling. They beat so their coach, by the way, you'd love to play for him.
Who's their coach?
John Jock, I think is how you name. I think he played on the 2010 team. I think Whitman's son was on that team that went to the Sweet 16, if you remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
He's the ultimate players coach. Those guys go down there, like I say. What are they, as of a couple weeks ago, second in the country in pace of play?
Yep, 14
they just,
seconds.
They just launch it. He runs about 10 guys, you know?
Yep.
Those guys better be in good shape.
They're in great shape.
They have to be.
You know, you get about 3 minutes of run, and then the next guys come in, and you come back in. They're just launching it. And he doesn't seem to give you a hard time if you take a rough one.
Mark Madsen is the coach for Cal, the former Laker player. He was in the NBA for a few years.
Did he go to Stanford?
Went to Stanford. Yeah, now he's coaching at Cal.
Okay.
He lasted longer than you might think in the league.
He was at Utah Valley before that. He was coaching at Utah Valley for, I don't know, 5 years. And then this is year two at Cal.
I was thinking he's got to be one of the taller coaches. He's probably like 6'9", 6'10".
Oh, he's a big dude. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Drabby? You just look at you.
I was going to say that Madsen was their coach. And they also have Stojakovic's kid, who was very high recruit when he came out. I think he already transferred.
Like he was playing last night.
No, I think Cal's the second school.
Oh, I got
you. He may have gone to Stanford his first year.
Yeah,
I can't remember, but I remember he was a super high recruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a sophomore, and you're right. He went to Stanford year one. Stanford to Cal.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was up late.
I wonder why. Did Stanford change coaches? I wonder if they had a coaching change or something. I wonder why he transferred.
They might have.
When I was in college, I used to talk to Mark Madsen on the phone all the time.
What?
It was the weirdest thing ever. My roommate was from L.A.
Okay.
He's a huge Lakers fan.
Yeah.
And somehow, like,
they were buddies.
Mark Madsen came to his performance at high school in, like, theater, and they became friends. And Mark Madsen was, like, a big name back then because it was Kobe and Shaq, and then
right.
Mark Madsen was the goofball on
the
bench.
He was, like, the cheerleader.
He was, like, the hustle grit guy. Yeah, that's what I remember about.
And he had some funky dance at the parade.
Yeah.
He was such a white man.
Literally the goofy white guy.
Yeah. He was the goofy white guy. But it's smart, but smart.
You had good conversations, sure, though, with him on the phone.
Well, I've always had a soft spot for Mark Madsen, and now I'm rooting for Cal.
Well, I think everybody has a soft spot for that guy, right? Yeah. Why would you not like him? Yeah, cool. That was very cool. So anyway, that's kind of like, that's replacing my kids now. I'm watching Coop play. When are we playing again, Coop?
You're living vicariously through him.
I'm living vicariously through him.
Very good.
I need some rooting interest.
I would think that Cornell, I can't imagine they just go out there for one game.
No, they do.
That's weird.
I looked at it. Well, they were at Army, and then they traveled out there.
To play one game.
Meg said they'd be gone for a week. They take it a little bit more seriously, so they give the kids more time, like for studying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, especially
not. Is that a paid game? That has to be a game where they get paid by
Cal. Probably.
If they did, it's a great hit.
It's not much, though.
I do like the videos when the
celebrating
the coach of the team that's getting paid the guarantee, like $1.4 million, goes in and beats like a Michigan. And then they're just dancing because they upset a Titan and they're walking out with like $1.5
million. Yeah.
I'm sure Cornell didn't score that for playing Cal in hoops, but.
Well, they went.
They probably got paid a little bit.
If you go to their Instagram, they went wild in the locker room.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, because they were on the road. They played Iona, Syracuse, Colgate. Now, that's all in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Then Army, and then they went to Cal, and then they come back home, play on the 26th. They got a week off, I guess, for finals. And they play Illinois State.
Right.
Coming up on a Wednesday show, there's a lot to get to today. We have Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. They're freaking red hot. We're going to talk to him at 7 a.m. Ben Vallin from the Boston Globe. We'll talk NFL with him. That's at 8:40. And D. Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA. He's going to pop in for an in-studio visit. He'll be on the show at 9:25. We also have a pair of Wizards tickets to give away because it is a game show Wizards Wednesday. So keep listening for that. When we come back, we'll talk about the Nats in the draft lottery. How did they do? How did they fare? We're going to tell you next which pick they have in the upcoming MLB draft.
So, all right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're listening during the break there, you heard Grant and Danny's excitement about the Washington Nationals' luck in the draft lottery. They secure the number one overall pick.
They get
so
it.
Great, huh?
They only had the fourth best odds at 10.8% to land the top pick.
Yep.
The Rockies and Marlins each were tied for 22.5% chance, but the Marlins fell to seventh, and the Rockies are going to pick fourth.
The ping pong balls fell the right way.
And your Washington Nationals have the number one overall pick in the 2025 draft.
How did the White Sox, who broke a record for most losses in a season with 121. How did they not get the number one pick?
I'll read it right out of the story. Oh. Because the collective bargaining agreement stipulates a team that pays into the revenue sharing plan cannot hold a lottery pick in consecutive drafts.
All right.
Oh, in consecutive drafts.
And the White Sox chose fifth in the 2024 draft.
Oh, you know what? That happened with the Nats last year.
Yes.
I'm not reading that. Baseball Cakes just knew that. It was in his brain.
That's right, because
the
Nats dropped to like 10th last year because they couldn't. They couldn't draft back-to-back in the lottery.
The A's were also ineligible because teams that receive revenue sharing cannot have a lottery pick three straight years.
Gotcha.
That's actually a great rule. The more and more it's played out, prevents tanking.
Spreads it out a little bit,
Spreads it out a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They can be back in next year. I think it's the first six or seven picks.
I think it's the first six, yeah. So, and then I guess the top prospect in a lot of these mock drafts is Matt Holliday's second son. I don't know if it's a second son, but his son, of course, Jackson Holliday is one of his sons.
They have a bunch of boys, right?
Who's with the Orioles. Ethan Holliday is a high schooler in Stillwater, Oklahoma, shortstop / third baseman. And he's looked at as the top prospect in the draft for 2025.
And we were talking about it during the break. Like, can you imagine if, like, he's only 17 years old, probably, right? Yeah. He's a high school junior, senior, whatever he is. High school
Rising senior.
If you're that good, now part of it is name, and these things are in exact science. We all get that. But if you're that young and you're like a high school hitter and you're ranked above all the college players and every other, like, think about how good that kid potentially could be in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Could be a superstar.
I mean, it's insane. You know, like Bryce Harper type, you know, these kind of kids that at that age are ranked so high. So I think we were talking about, I think it would be hard for Mike to pass on those bloodlines. These other guys, obviously I looked at the list, but I think it's going to be hard for I would be surprised if he doesn't take them.
So wasn't there a video of Jackson Holiday like working out at like at his house?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And his dad has like this.
It's like a sports complex.
Yeah, it's like
golf sim in there.
Yeah,
batting cages.
You open up the door, poops. It's like 100 people could fit in there.
Yeah, it's like White Marsh.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah, it's wild. And that's think about it. You have those kind of facilities. You have those kind of bloodlines.
You have the genes, yeah.
And then you have the parents have the wherewithal, the understanding of how you the process.
Yep.
And that's how you groom prodigies.
That's a good combination.
Yeah. 17. So he's slated to or committed to go to Oklahoma State, but that ain't happening.
No.
He's
going to get a big fat deal from the Nats. And
I'm sure he'll go. But how much are baseball guys now getting with NIL? At the biggest programs, they got to be. I bet you they're getting $1 million a year. Now that pales in comparison to what MLB can offer.
Like maybe someone like him, yeah. But
biggest.
I'm not sure.
There's a wrestler at Penn State. They got like $1 million.
Yeah, some of this money is stupid.
Yeah,
but if he's going to be the number one pick, he's going to get a huge contract. But I think you're right. I mean, who knows how they rank? You know, his scouts how they rank these players. But
I mean, I see MLB has him ranked one. Are there other? Is it kind of a unanimous thing that he's the number one guy, or is that just MLB's rankings?
You have to go look at all the mocks, and there's probably a million of them.
I just think it's going to be hard for him to pass on those bloodlines. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty exciting, though. Even though, you got still so many other guys we got to get to in the farm system, but that's what you do. You load it up.
USA Today has him. Let's see where USA Today has him. MLB.com definitely has him one.
Yeah.
And USA Today has him one.
Right.
So he's probably one in the majority.
He's probably going to go one then, for sure.
Apparently, there's a pitcher from Florida State.
Jamie Arnold, the lefty.
He's supposed to be legit. And then there's a high schooler, another high school pitcher. Can't remember his name. He's
Seth Hernandez.
From California. Seth Hernandez. He's a high schooler from L.A. Supposed to be legit.
I'm still. I got the money line in my brain.
He's slated to go to
stay away from high school pitchers. I still have the money line mantra. Remember that from the movie
Moneyball?
Moneyball.
Yeah.
I still have that in my brain. You don't remember that?
I remember a lot of Moneyball. I don't remember. I don't remember some of those
themes. That was one theme: stay away from high school pitchers. Mm. You know, because of all the arm injuries and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously like OPS and on base percentage. Those were all the stats that for the hitters.
The mantra that sticks with me from Moneyball is he gets on base.
Right.
Doesn't matter how he gets on base. And the old scouts are like, he just walks all the time. And Brad Pitt's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
He gets on base.
Right.
That's what I remember from Moneyball.
On base percentage. And all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their big deal.
Getting on base matters whether you're hitting or walking.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure the metrics have changed.
I'm a Bill James disciple. That's the guy's name, right? Bill James.
Yeah. I couldn't believe the contract Max Fried got from the Yankees. Max Fried got 8 years, $220 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hurt a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had a really good year this past year. But he's 30. It's not like he's 24, 25, 26. He's 30 years old. He's had multiple injuries. He's already had Tommy John, but that was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that's...
It's what, like $28 million a year or something like that?
And an eight-year deal?
Ooh,
I mean,
very nice.
He ain't going to be healthy. I'm sorry. He ain't going to be healthy at age 36, 37,
38. Hmm.
And he got a boatload. But, you know, the Yankees, after losing Soto, probably decided, all right, we got to go after and get some of these big-name guys. And they went out and got Max Fried.
So did the Nats release a statement last night after? And by the way, I saw like kind of a real time, actually, I happened to be on Twitter when it said Major League Baseball tweeted the Nats just got the first pick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys explained the rule. What? I don't quite understand how they got. Was there some sort of lottery after that, or like what did they do? How did they get that? Like how many?
How did they secure the pick?
Yes. Do you understand? Like what was the process?
I don't know the process.
I just know that they said they got it. It was a big surprise or whatever.
I don't know the permutations going into it.
If they didn't win, whatever they did, you know, how much of a boon was it for them?
But just based on their standings, I would assume
that's all.
I mean, they were supposed to go. Fourth. They had the fourth.
They were supposed to go fourth. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, from the looks of it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The Rockies were called at the Nats' projected number four spot.
Right.
So once that happened, then
that's
then,
a big yeah, that's like a jump, man.
Then Mike
4-1.
Rizzo had a little stirring in his pants.
Yeah.
Once he saw the Rockies.
That's
logo
exactly what I was looking for. So they were
over
supposed to get four.
Right. So they jumped
and they
from
got
4-1.
Yeah,
right.
It's awesome.
Because the White Sox were eliminated because of that rule. And who else did you say was eliminated? The Rockies.
How many fist pumps do you think Mike was doing?
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Smoking a cigar.
Ethan Holiday.
Probably went home, celebrated with the old lady.
By the way, and this is interesting because Brady House, who's not yet at the big league level, is a top prospect, third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
And C.J. Abrams is their
shortstop.
But they
can move a third baseman anywhere. They can move down.
I understand that. You know. I understand that. And in you know, amateur drafts like that, you just take the best player and you can move right guys around. But it looks like they're kind of slated at those two positions for the next – if those two players are legit, and we think Abrams certainly is, and we're hearing a lot about Brady House –
is the Green
like those
kid turning it around? Remember how he kind of started slow? Is it Elijah,
Elijah Green?
Remember how he kind of started slow?
I'd have to look at his.
And then I feel like he picked up maybe in the second half of the season. But so far, most of their.
He's an outfielder.
Most of their prospects have done a pretty good job.
Let's see. For 2024 so in Fredericksburg, single A, he hit. He had 13 bombs in 106 games, hit 208.
Mm-hmm. But I think he started out even way lower than that.
I think he started out pretty slow, right?
Yeah.
But he still only hit 208.
Mm-hmm.
On-base percentage, not even 30%.
13 bombs in 108, what, games or at-bats?
106 games.
Okay.
At-bats, he had 414.
Okay, so, all right. So one every 40, one every 35.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's also another top prospect for them, and he might be a few years away. He's a big dude, too.
He might be a
away.
He's
got
to hit the pick it up.
Yeah, that's true.
I just remember watching his dad play for the Steelers.
Plays tight end, yeah.
Massive yeah human being.
Before the draft, Rizzo was on MLB Network talking to the guys, and he told them it's go time. Like, we're going to go after a big name. I think he said time to hit the gas.
Okay.
It's currently constructed. You've got some exciting young players, but I think it's time, and you said it in a quote, that it's time to augment it, spend a little bit money, surround it with some veteran presence. Are you able to do that here? Are you kicking the tires on a bunch
of
guys?
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of people about a lot of good players, and we do. We need some veteran presence, not only to help us in the clubhouse, but to lengthen that lineup and take a little pressure off the young kids in the lineup. Get us some guys with a little power. We were second from last in home runs last year. We were at the bottom of the barrel in slug. So we need more power. We need to put some crooked numbers up a little easier than getting four or five hits, and kind of couple that and marry that with the aggressiveness we are in the base. And I think we led the baseball in stolen bases, and you know, we feel good about where we're at, but we have to keep moving forward. We see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you know, now's not the time to hit the brakes, just to hit the gas.
All right, let's go.
Sounds like you want some pop in the lineup, some power. Yeah. I like that. I like to hear that.
They at least called Soto.
Well,
they at least called.
I mean, everybody can call him. I mean, the Marlins could call him. It doesn't mean they're going to sign him.
I agree.
Well, we'll see what they do. I mean, they need a first baseman with pop.
Right.
So whether that's Pete Alonso or Christian Walker type, they got to get someone in there who's going to give you 30 to 35 bombs, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, C.J. Abrams led him in homers last year. You can't have
That guy shouldn't be he's a really good player, but he shouldn't be leading you in homers.
No, you need some corner infielders that have pop or outfielders that got pop, and I hope he's right. I hope that the learners have given him enough leeway to go out and sign some guys.
Right. Well, what percentage of – are only the big-name guys have gone? Like, are there still a bunch of big-name guys out there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Nats have plenty of room. I mean, they only have $32 million right now, at least on the active payroll, committed to players for 2025.
All right, let's go real quick.
They're still paying Strasburg, but that's separate.
Yeah. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, what's
Good
up,
morning.
Buddy? If the phone lines are working this morning.
I think it's nice to have a glimmer of good news for the Nationals because it's kind of a dejected fan base right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hoping, actually, is that this leads to facilitating a sale of the club, making it a little bit more valuable, because I think the key for this future of this club is the sale of the club. I don't think the learners are into it. They have not kept one player. Every player that's left has left. Nobody haven't kept anybody except Strasburg. We need to get the landscape of baseball is dynamic. You have a guy in New York that doesn't give a damn what he spends.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't at least come up with above a $30 million payroll, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, they will. I mean,
that's got to increase.
I think it's a little unfair, though. I mean, they definitely have been tight right now, but they did win the World Series on them. They did spend a boatload of money on a lot of these guys.
And their payroll, even though it was pretty low last year, was over $100 million. They're not just going to go into 2025 with a $40 million payroll. Like, that's absurd. That's like lower than the A's payroll. Like, they're going to spend some money.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, whether they spend some money.
But $100 million isn't that much compared to.
It's low. I know it's
low. Now, 15 years ago or 10 years ago, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the teams that are spending the money now are in the high twos to threes.
I understood.
So you're way behind.
I feel like they need to get back to that 150 to 160 range that they were in when they were in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And now, whether the Lerners are going to get back to that level while they're still on the team. Yet to be seen.
Yeah.
About to see how the next few seasons go if they're still owning the team 2 or 3 years down the line. That's all right, coming up later on the show, Spencer Carberry will join us coming up at 7 to talk about the Washington Capitals. They're back in action tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a weird interaction between Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau. We will get into that next here on The Fan. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, will join us. Caps coming off a very successful two-game Canadian road trip, getting a bit of rest before they take on the Blue Jackets Thursday night in Columbus. So we'll talk to the head coach at 7 a.m. So we wanted to touch on this tense and awkward exchange between Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau. Now, for those younger in the audience, you might not know Mark Gastineau's name. He was a dominant pass rusher for the New York Jets back in, like, the 80s. I'm not sure exactly the era he played. I'd have to look that up. 80s, maybe into the early 90s.
I don't think he got to the 90s, but I could be wrong.
So the cameras caught a tense moment between them at a memorabilia show. And I guess they were recording for an upcoming documentary about the New York sack exchange, mm-hmm. how dominant that pass rush was.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the moment between Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau.
We met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back. Uh-huh. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
Anybody will tell you Brett Favre took a dive. And you know it. She knows it. He knows it. And everybody knows it. I didn't know what had happened. The NFL should have stopped that and said, listen, no. That's not a sack. He took my record away from me.
Mark Gastineau's record of 22 sacks in a single season, which he achieved in 1984, stood until the final minutes of the 2001 season.
You know, he's actually right. I remember it. I mean,
yeah, I remember it.
But I kind of feel sympathy for him. Now, Gastineau has had a colorful history and a lot of stuff going on.
He's had a lot of health issues.
Yeah, drugs.
I think he's battling like Parkinson's and dementia, like has been since 2016.
And he had colon cancer. He's had a lot of stuff going on.
But even like during his playing career, I mean, he was a controversial guy.
Correct.
But and look, they're doing a thing. It's a money grab probably, but he's kind of right. I would be kind of bitter. If it was my
clearly
record.
Holding a grudge. I mean, he's holding that grudge for 20 plus years,
right?
The sound of it. So Brett Favre went to Twitter last night and he responded. He put out a thread last night. He said, back in 2002 when Strahan sacked me at the end of a game that we had wrapped up, I was in no way trying to hurt Mark Gastineau. I was trying to close out a game and squeeze the last bit of fun out of a hard-fought game. I booted out of a run thinking it would be wide open, saw Strahan standing there and ducked down. The game was over. There was no need for me to do anything spectacular. It probably wasn't Michael's best sack or tackle for loss.
Mm.
In a different game or situation, I would have made a bigger effort to avoid the sack or the TFL, tackle for loss. But at no point was I thinking about hurting Gastineau.
Right,
Maybe it crossed my mind to help Strahan. I didn't think it through. That wasn't my forte at the time.
thinking.
And he then goes on to say, I see now how being the sack king would elevate his value at card shows, strengthen his case for the Hall of Fame, increase his demand as a public speaker. I had no way of knowing that then. I realize now the potential financial implications because football is far more business-oriented than when me or Mark played.
Right.
So that was his explanation.
I do have sympathy for Brett. Like, I think Brett's a decent guy at the end of the day. I mean, he's had some controversy too, but
he's had,
you know, he's had
some incidents.
Especially
the last few years, there have been some pretty terrible allegations.
Is that
about
the first time
financially?
Is that the first time in a long time he's seen him? Because I can't imagine it.
It's what it sounded like.
I don't think they've met before.
Really?
It sounded like when they first shook each other's hands.
Well, he said hadn't we met? That was the very first thing he said. Yeah. But Mark just didn't acknowledge it. Mark didn't care.
Yeah.
And maybe they both forgot.
It was very awkward. It was very awkward.
Really don't know each other very well.
Yeah, it doesn't
definitely
seem like
don't
it.
Know each other very well.
Yeah, you would think like at a card show, guys would be like, "Hey, what's up? Good to see you." You don't expect there to be like a borderline confrontation like that.
Listen, I have sympathy for both guys. I kind of like them both. Sorry, and I feel like Brett handled himself pretty well being kind of accosted like that.
But I feel
bad for both the guys.
So Gastineau had issue. He had dementia. Or has dementia, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. And he said in 2019 that he was battling colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember him he was like a boxer for a while, wasn't he?
He did a lot of, he was kind of a notorious guy.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I'm not sure if he may have had some steroids allegations, some cocaine stuff in his past.
I'm sure.
I'm just saying off the top of my head. But, you know, everybody has their demons. I kind of feel sympathy for both guys, to be honest with you.
Well, according to his wiki.
Brett has Parkinson's, too.
That's right. Brett does, too.
I mean, this is way back, but in 1991, Gastineau was arrested for picking up a package of amphetamine pills at the Phoenix airport.
Mm-hmm.
3 years probation for that.
I mean, that's what you do when you're addicted.
I mean, he hit his second wife back in 2000. He had to go to anger management for that.
Yep. He spent 18 months in jail for that.
Like I said, colorful history, a lot going on.
But that was very awkward, that little
that was a weird back and forth between those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's one of those things where it was controversial at the time, if you remember, when that sack occurred. It was
I remember that.
People were bitching about it. You never really thought, wow, that really does affect Gastineau, you know?
But apparently it does.
Of course.
Now, his brain isn't working properly.
But what Brett said is right. You could say you're the sack king, you know,
it definitely enhances your value.
These guys make a boatload of money at these shows.
They make a lot of coins.
That's how a lot of these guys survive, you know? I guess you could still say you're the sack king, but you're not really.
He finished with 108 for his career.
Right.
Former sack king doesn't have quite the same
former
ring to
sack
it.
King is, yeah, it's not.
It doesn't.
When you say former sack, if you say sack king, that leads me to believe that you're the all-time leader in career sacks. I don't think, you're the single season sack king. It's drilling down pretty specifically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, like, I was the leader in sacks for one season.
Yeah. I would agree. Sack King should be the all-time season overall. I would think.
It's gonna be tough for EB when Mike Maher revenges himself next season.
Okay.
And EB's the former steak king.
Yeah. Oh, we're running back.
I'm not sure I'm running
former fire king.
I haven't seen a bonfire.
I
know when you're lucky and you got away with one.
Yeah, I would.
Hey.
I would never cook another steak,
at least on
the show again.
Forever the steak king.
Yeah. I'll just use a fifth of the seasoning.
Now, the one thing is I might only put the title up against Mar. He might be the only guy I think that I could just continuously trounce.
Just smoke him.
But against most normal humans, no.
I think I've only cooked one steak since the steak off. I might be scarred for life.
Yeah, it hurts you.
I might have backed off my grilling.
Right.
A grilling's taking a real back seat.
Yeah. What is today? Wednesday? What's Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
What's that for you, Lurch? I can't keep track of all your food days.
For food?
Yeah, you guys are like programmed robots.
I don't know. I was going to ask you what I should do. I'm on my own tonight because my wife and daughter are going to dinner with Thomas C. Mooney's wife and her daughter.
Oh, I know what I'd do.
It's like a girls' night out.
It's like girls' night out.
Yeah.
So I'm on my own for dinner.
I'd light some candles.
Oh, I know what you would do.
You'd light some candles and then do what?
Just hang out.
Have a romantic candlelit dinner for one.
You'd hang out in a few different ways. No, I'm not thinking about that.
Oh,
but
really?
I don't know. Give me some ideas. I'll go do whatever.
I got nothing.
I can do Sushi Wednesday.
You could do that. Dine solo.
I've got to go to a Christmas party tomorrow down here at the Wharf. Not looking forward to it. Because it's going to take me freaking 2 hours to get here.
When?
But
when is that one?
It's tomorrow. It's my daughter's company's Christmas party. So she really wants me to go.
Very good.
And
who's the live entertainment
this
year?
Fitz and the Tantrums.
Fitz and the Tantrums. That's right.
Yeah.
They're going to make your hands clap tomorrow night.
If I stay to see them.
If you stay. That's the big wild card.
Yeah. Because if they don't go on stage till about 8 or 8:30, zippy chance I'm going to watch.
Yeah, you will not be seeing them.
No.
Won't be seeing them perform.
No, but I'm on my own tonight for dinner. Just me and my dog.
Mm. We had two frozen pizzas for dinner yesterday. Wasn't an exotic day.
What brand of frozen za were you enjoying?
My kids know that better than me. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
They know that better than me. I didn't pick it out. My daughter likes the thin ones.
I kind of like thin frozen pizza.
There's a thin one that she likes.
I don't want my frozen pizza to be
super thick.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah. We were just
a little thin crust.
It was late.
Put it right on the oven rack. Get it nice and crispy.
Yeah. And of course, I got my mom there, so we always have to figure out, we got to feed her.
Sure.
I mean, she has free reign. She can do whatever she wants.
Right.
But you always are keeping your mom in the back of your mind, like, all right, what am I going to give her?
Got to feed the whole family. Got to put food on your family, EB.
I don't know if you guys know this dynamic. You probably don't. But, since my dad passed, 18, 19 years ago, I've always said
you're working hard to put food on your family.
You could stay at our house, Mom. You don't have to live there. Like, you don't have to live in that empty house. She always complains about being in an empty house by herself, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And she's always rejected it. This is the first time where I might have to kick her out.
Oh, really? She's getting
she's
too comfortable?
She's getting pretty comfortable.
Ah, very good.
No, I think it's great. It's fine.
Yeah, sure.
Like, and, Kate loves having, grandma around, Nana around. But, she's getting pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Speaking of frozen pizza, my daughter and I were talking about it within the past week, and I brought up the old brand name. I think they still make it. Tombstone Pizza?
Ooh.
Is that still a thing?
I think so.
I brought up frozen
There's
pizza.
There's so many frozen pizzas
in there. And I responded with, what do you want on your tombstone? Because that was their slug line.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter looked at me like, you're speaking a different language to me.
Right.
She didn't get it. And it makes sense because I think that tagline was popular 30 years ago.
Right.
Right? Hey, right, Trab?
Well, okay. I mean, no. That was a great commercial, but what are you doing?
I don't know.
You're buying Tombstone?
No, I didn't buy Tombstone.
You get a Tamagotchi, too?
There was frozen pizza conversation, and I went with what I thought was a witty frozen pizza tagline. I don't think I've seen a Tombstone pizza in the grocery store for 30 years.
I think they're there.
A man of your means, you got to skip Tombstone, Red Baron. What do you got to do? What do you got to do? What are the ones you got to do?
DiGiorno's legit.
You get DiGiorno.
Yeah.
Bellatoria. It's good.
Yeah. It's not delivery.
Maybe a California Pizza Kitchen. Yeah. Those are pretty solid.
Hey, is Portnoy still the thing, or did that just Portnoy? Remember he was really pushing his frozen pizza?
What's it called?
Oh, I haven't seen those. That was the worst pizza I've ever had in my life.
It was terrible.
Crunchy? That was his whole thing. It was supposed to be crunchy. I don't know. It was the worst pizza I've ever had. So then that just died. Had to. What was it? Yeah, one bite pizza.
Yeah.
Frozen pizza.
Dead.
I saw it at Walmart once.
Right.
Yeah, that was like a big deal, though, that it's at Walmart. That was a big deal. He got that account. Mm-hmm. It's not there now.
You get the Walmart account. That's a big one.
So that died.
If we ever make a product, we want it in a Walmart.
Listen,
I don't know what we'd sell, but we want Walmart.
That guy's
to carry
great
marketer.
Well,
and a Costco, too. You should see how many people were in Costco yesterday.
Oh, a billion.
On a Tuesday at noon, there were so many people in Costco.
Well, what were you doing there?
We were getting some stuff, and my wife wanted a garland to put around the front door of the house.
Right.
And they didn't have it. So,
by the way, I saw this yesterday. Speaking of Costco, I know we have to take a break because Coach Carberry is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Their revenue in 1984, long time ago, was $1 billion. Their revenue in 2024, $254 billion. So that's tracking that everybody's
Who
at Costco.
Who owns Costco?
I mean, it's a publicly held company.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. A lot of shareholders
getting rich. Me, we spent some money there yesterday.
I'm sure you did. All right, coming up next, we will talk to the head coach of your Washington Capitals. They just won back-to-back games in Canada against Toronto and Montreal. Spencer Carberry joins us next.